I'm Michael Hall. We
okay, hey, it's been so long. I completely forgot.
Happy New Year.
I'm going to keep that. Hi there. Welcome to The Dadvantage, the D&D podcast where two old school dads
embrace new school play. Oh, I'm God. Andy Davis.
I'm Michael. I don't know.
God, it's 2024. We have gone off the rails in the first 30 seconds.
I completely forgot how we do the walk-in. That's where my brain's at today.
Hi, I'm Michael Hall.
And I'm Andy Davis.
Welcome to the Dadvantage, where two old school dads embrace new school play.
That's right. Holy crap.
In 2024.
That just happened. I did warn you, Andy, that I was not thinking straight today. So no, there you go.
Very that's true.
Proof positive.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Oh my God. We've only done this for 2 years and I completely botched it. Brilliant.
All new in 2024. We pretend we've never done a podcast before.
That's right.
Awesome.
Brilliant. Okay.
Awesome.
Deep breath. Well, we do actually have an interesting episode today, Andy.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about the components of flavor, right? We talk about character flavor a lot, and we've hinted at like how you create flavor with your character. But one of the most important things, and particularly as we've been talking more and more about spellcasters, is spells, right? Spells are actually a huge place where you have a lot of opportunity to create unique and special flavor for your characters who cast spells. You could do it for features as well, but for spells in particular, they're ripe for reflavoring. So we've got like five spells that we think that would be a good example of how you might reflavor them for whatever character you might want.
Yeah, we went through everyone. We picked a cantrip one and then some spells one through level four. Just picked very arbitrary on our part, just stuff we thought might be interesting. And I think we're just going to go through, we'll read the official description from the player's handbook, and then we'll talk about reflavoring. I think for me, when I think about reflavoring is almost always, to my mind, it's in the context of the character that you're playing. Yeah. So if everybody remembers way back to some of our early builds, I built Sal Ahriman, my warlock bureaucrat, right?
Andy, and first episode.
All the way back to the first 2 years ago for you people who've been listening for a long time. But one of the things that I did with him is he's a very straightforward warlock, pack to the chain warlock. But I just reflavored, you know, Eldritch Blast became Red Tape. Summon Supervisor became Call My Supervisor was one of his summoning spells, you know.
Yeah.
Team Meeting for other things. No difference to like the spell effects or anything else like that. But when I have had the opportunity to play Sal, it's hilarious because I'm like, oh yeah, I cast Red Tape and I'm just describing, instead of dark black energy blowing across the battlefield, no, it's like literally like red tape springing from his fingers and slamming into somebody across the room.
It's great. It makes it fun. It also, one of the things that players are always asking me, can I do this custom homebrew thing? And I'm like, you don't need to. You can take an existing spell and just describe it differently and it still works. And then it doesn't break any of the mechanics. It's exactly functions as written. It's just described beautifully and different.
Yeah. One of the things I think about too is it is your opportunity. I think a lot of people rely on the DM to create the mood around stuff. But I think you as a player could say like, I cast X and it looks like this. And you can really proactively help the DM.
Yeah. That's exactly.
You know, without having to have the DM be the one who has to describe exactly how every spell effect comes across and all the rest of it. It gives you an opportunity to be empowered as a player.
Yeah. In fact, I encourage the players to do that. I think, and you don't even need to rename the spells. I think you and I get a special kick out of renaming the spells, but you can literally say Thorn Whip and then just describe it differently.
Yeah.
Right. Like you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a labor in excessive writing.
Right.
But let's work in this podcast. We do excessive.
We go big. Go big or go home.
All right. So, Andy, what's our first spell, the cantrip level?
Well, I believe you just mentioned it, Michael. Oh. It is a Thorn Whip. So Thorn Whip, as described in the book, you create a long vine-like whip covered in thorns that lashes out at your command toward a creature in range. You can make a melee spell attack against the target. If that attack hits, they take piercing damage. And if they're not too big, you can yank them 10 feet closer to you. And basically, as you increase in level, increases in damage. We're not really, I don't think I had when I was thinking about how I might reflavor this, I wasn't really thinking about changing damage types or changing sort of levels of damage. I'm not thinking about rewriting a whole spell. I'm like literally thinking of like, how would I describe it or how might I rename it
right
as something else, you know, in a different context.
Same, exactly the same.
Yeah.
My approach to all of these is like, I actually thought of one type of character and then I kept them on a theme so that they could all be consistent. I'm not sure if you did the same thing, but
I did not.
What a surprise. We're nothing if not consistent.
In our inconsistency. Yes.
Oh boy. All right. Well, why don't you go? Well, yeah. Why don't you?
Yeah, all right, I can go first.
Yeah.
So imagine that you're playing maybe a motherly character. You have a motherly kind of druid. She's got a big handbag. She does a lot of sewing and knitting and crocheting. She doesn't have thorn whip. She has yarn whip. So she reaches into her sewing bag and whips out a big long thread of yarn that has a big knitting needle or sewing needle at the end of it. And that is, you know, and that whips out and stabs into the creature. And if she's going to yank them in there, it's literally like rolling the ball of yarn, getting yarn rolled up and yanking them back.
Oh, I love it.
That's so that might be cool. Like, you know, because you can think of like, oh, that would be kind of a really fun kind of comic grandmotherly type. I think that's something that we've seen there. And to have like this druid garden grandmother who's spent all her extra time knitting, but then all of a sudden is using knitting needles as a weapon. It could be really fun.
That's crazy good. That's crazy good. I flavored all of mine around, you've probably heard this theme through a lot of my characters that I've built. I guess I could say I'm even a little obsessed with it. I love characters that have a relationship to the Feywild. It's right. Something that's just a never-ending source of flavor for me personally. Mm-hmm. So I all of mine are like, I was thinking of either some kind of sorcerer or some kind of, or a druid, either one, but a character who brings all their spells are anchored to elements within the Feywild. So mine's called Hook, Line, and Sinker. And I imagine this character having like his component bag is he pulls a little dryad out of his bag, a mini dryad, and he puts it on his shoulder. And the dryad has a fishing pole, and the dryad casts the fishing pole out, hooks the whoever it is, and then reels them in frantically on the shoulder.
Maybe it's not a dryad. Maybe it's like a little fish.
Better. Oh my God. No, you nailed it.
It's a tiny little quetoa.
I pull a little fish on my shoulder. Put it on my shoulder, and the fish has a fishing rod and hooks the person. You just made it perfect. Hook, line, awesome. And sinker. Hook, line,
awesome.
And sinker.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's the sort of thing. You can think of other cantrips. There's no reason that like Firebolt or something else like that couldn't be. Firebolt could just as easily be a blast of flowers, right? Yeah. It could just as easily, like, there's any number of reasons that you can exactly, redescribe right. things yeah. without affecting the mechanics.
That's right.
In any way, shape, or form.
Flame red posies that fly out and catch fire as they hit the character.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think it really is just giving yourself the opportunity to imagine those things and how those things might fit with the theme of your character. Right.
I think as a DM, generally, if players ask me to change the damage type, I'm a little bit ready to do it because sometimes that can have a major impact on the balance of the game. But if somebody were to change fire to poison, I might say yes, because there's far more monsters with poison resistance than fire resistance, right?
Right.
But if they wanted to go from fire to force, I might have a problem with it, because there are far fewer monsters with force resistance than fire resistance, right? Yeah, like, you just have to be, as a DM, you have to be mindful of, definitely play rule of cool, definitely help your characters achieve their vision, but like, also don't let them get away with some BS that's completely overpowered if you can.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that becomes the flavor versus function, right? There is this sort of, a lot of times, I think even in here, I wrote, you know, it's at the DM's discretion, right? You really, if you want to reflavor to the point of like really re-sculpting a spell, then that can become an issue. So let's talk about our level one spell.
Yeah, so our level, I'll describe the spell. It's Magic Missile. So you create three glowing darts of magical force. Each dart hits a creature of your choice that you can see within range. Dart deals 1d4+1. Force damage to target. The darts all strike simultaneously, and you can direct them to hit one creature or several. And sticking with my Fae theme, I have Pixie Missile, And Pixie Missile is exactly what it sounds like.
It's a slingshot where you've got pixies loaded in the cup.
You know me too well. You basically place three pixies in a slingshot and you fire away. And the pixies go flying and slam into their targets. Unerringly. Nice.
Unerringly.
Spat, pat, pat. You hear the little screams as they That's go forward.
That's awesome. So mine, in this case, I was thinking about, as mentioned in some of the previous episodes, I used to have this character, the Amazing Akimbo, which was sort of a stage magician. So I was thinking about him. And then I was also thinking about straight up Gambit from the X-Men. And I was like, oh, well, what if it's card trick, you know, and like literally basically, you know, the caster shakes their hand and like magic, three playing cards appear in their between their fingers, which they flick their wrist and those cards then fly unerringly out and hit their target, you know, and maybe they do, instead of force damage, they do slashing damage. That might be something at sort of the DM.
I would never say no discretion. To that because it's far more common to have slashing resistance.
Yeah, exactly. It's just literally the X-Men Gambit style, you know, yeah, the playing cards just flying, zipping around and hitting them. It's mechanically essentially the same.
Yeah.
Right. But, yeah, and I did say one thing. Oh, you know, maybe if you really wanted to like mess around with it a little bit, you could have when the players draw, you know, when they do that with card trick, they have a deck of cards and they just draw three cards. If the Ace of Spades shows up, they just get max damage on that one hit.
Oh, that's cute.
Right? You know, which would just be kind of, again, like a cool flavor thing. Like literally, it's like you're talking about like at the most, like a couple hit points.
Yeah.
But it could be kind of, but it's like a fun way for,
it's two to five hit point different. I think no DM can have an issue with that.
You know, but the idea of like, oh yeah, I can get this sort of like mini crit when I do this like crazy card trick thing could be really fun.
That's cool. I like it. Next spell up, Andy, you go.
So the next spell we're going to do is Blur. Your body becomes blurred, shifting and wavering to all who can see you. For the duration, any creature has disadvantage on attack rolls against you. An attacker is immune to this effect if they don't rely on sight. So if they have blind sight or they can see through illusions, that sort of thing, it doesn't affect them. But for everybody else, you just get hazy and blurry and they don't know quite exactly where your body is. Mm-hmm. You're in this micro fog cloud for all intents and purposes.
That's cool. I love that spell.
Yeah, it's a very cool spell. So I have kind of an interesting take on this one. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it Hoops.
Hoops.
Oh. Hoops. So you begin to swivel your hips. And at first, one, and then very quickly, dozens of magical translucent hula hoops appear around your body, all around, completely covering you from toe to tip to toe. You know, you're just completely circled in all these like spinning rings. That's that you, of course, can see out of, but, you know, so long as you move your hips, you are obscured. Oh, and, of course, any creature has. So, again, no difference.
I see the mechanical description.
How would you make this happen? And
this would be so good on like a Blade Singer, because it would be like doing a rumba across the floor.
I literally was like, oh, yeah, no, they're just like, it's literally
doing
this
assault. It's literally
like the world champion hula hooper. It's just got like fucking 2,000 hula hoops around them, just spinning around like mad.
That's so good. That's freaking awesome. That'd
be pretty funny.
I love it. Mine's not that dissimilar, but like, then I think it's like, I think it's the spell itself lends it to this.
Yeah.
Mine is called Flutterbys.
Yeah.
And you release a cloud of little butterflies that then just swirl around you, creating confusion and distracting the enemy from hitting you. It's very simple. But I just want to say Flutterbys.
When you think about, we did a couple of things that were like sort of active attacks. Yeah. This is like a more passive effect. Right. It's literally just in the description. It's just thinking of like intriguing ways. Like you could absolutely see like Akimbo, if Akimbo were to cast Blur, having this sort of circus performer vibe of hoops would be it's just a really funny moment to describe to your GM, like what it is that his
NPCs
are seeing, you know, but at the same time, it's like, oh yeah, no, I'm a fey creature. I'm of the fey. Like I cast Blur and it literally is like this explosion of butterflies that are all around me and whoever is attacking me, so that they're just kind of, they just can't quite see exactly where the edges are.
I was thinking, really, Andy, if it was the same card character that you had for the previous one, it could be 52 card pickup. And then they just... And there's a whole deck of cards, and the cards go 100%. Flying everywhere.
You could absolutely see that there's like this I would always, like, for me, like, Misty Step for a character like that would 100% be that, like, they just, like, you know, this explosion of cards that all hit the ground, and the character's just not gone there anymore. They're 30 right. feet away. They're like, I'm off stage. That's all it needs. Right.
Exit stage right.
Exit stage right.
Yeah, see, it's really simple, and it doesn't have to be complicated, and it just adds fun to the game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So our next one is the glorious third level spell, Slow.
Yes.
So Slow, you alter time around up to six creatures of your choice in a 40-foot cube within range. Each target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or be affected by this spell for the duration. An effective target speed is halved. It takes a -2 to penalty to AC and dexterity saving throws, and it can't use reactions. On its turn, it can either use an action or a bonus action, not both. Regardless of the creature's abilities or magic items, it can't take more than one melee or range attack during its turn. This is a freaking awesome third level spell. If there weren't so many other amazing third level spells, I would probably cast this every single time.
It's
because it's so dampening to a group of enemies.
Yeah, it's really funny because, like, just speaking about Slow as a spell, everybody takes haste. Right?
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, the Slow is the converse of haste.
Yeah.
Haste is one, you're basically empowering one yourself or one of your peers.
Yeah.
To make a bunch of, you know, they get an extra attack every round and all this. I'd argue that Slow is actually a better spell.
Oh, it's way better. Particularly if you have a whole bunch of high AC characters.
Yeah. Like, I mean, to be able to just, like, grind them down like that, or you have a decent spell save DC. Yeah. Like, it's a rough spell.
Yeah, you got, especially if you've got two magic users and one casts Slow and then the other casts Fireball. I mean, like, messed up, right? So mine is a little, it's maybe not quite as fey, but I love it anyway. I'm calling this one Chunky Monkey. And you basically pull out, like, those barrel of monkeys. And you throw them out into this 40-foot cube, and all these little fat little monkeys just start attaching
just, chunky just monkeys. Grab hold
start
of you.
Grab hold of all the characters, of all the villains, hilarious. And start slowing them down.
I summoned 2 million tiny monkeys. Like, they're just all, like, they're all about, all, like, 4 inches tiny tall.
Monkeys.
And they weigh
and
about,
they're,
like,
all little chubby, and they're all, you know, they're all, like, just, you know, chunky monkeys. And
very cute. Gigantic, very cute eyes.
Eyes, you know.
Yeah.
Very
really
chibi inspired monkeys, right?
This one may be a little less inspired for me, but I just like the visual of it made me laugh. So the material component required for Slow is a drop of molasses.
Mm.
And I just thought it would be really funny to really, like, lean into that. And so in my mind, in this case, you know, a portal opens in the air above your target, above this 40-foot cube, and just essentially to a demi-plane filled with a sweet tar-like substance that just, a quantity of it just comes splashing down on everybody, and it just pours over and covers them. And, like, literally they're covered in this sort of semi-magical goo, so anything they touch, stuck to them. It's not quite, it doesn't necessarily impede their, I mean, I guess it does impede their movement because their movement gets slow.
It's halved, yeah.
And it gets halved and everything, but it's, like, literally they're so sticky,
yeah,
that they can't do anything. Maybe you make the DM, if the at the DM's discretion, maybe it becomes a dex save versus a wisdom save if it's actual goo coming down on them. But I just thought the idea of, like, actually covering somebody in tar or molasses kind of funny. Really, and again, like, a funny visual.
Oh my god,
but fun, so very fun visual.
I just see, like, I think of all, like, the La Brea tar pit.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's just exactly that. It's like, you're just like, oh man, it's like, it's it could be rough.
Oh, that would be brilliant. I love it. Gooey gooey fun.
Gooey gooey fun.
Wow, we're cranking through these. It went a little faster than I thought. But so what's number four?
So number four, our fifth spell, our level. That is level fourth level spell, is Banishment. Again, another super powerful just spell that gets used all the time.
Yeah.
You attempt to send one creature that you can see within range to another plane of existence. They must succeed on a charisma saving throw or be banished. If they're native to the plane of existence that you're on, they're sent to a harmless demiplane. While they're incapacitated. and they remain there until the spell ends, at which point the target reappears in the space it left or in the nearest unoccupied space. If they are native to a different plane than the one you're on, they're banished to their home plane. If the spell ends before a minute has passed, the target reappears in the space it left or in the nearest unoccupied space if that space is occupied. Otherwise, they just don't return. So, you know, if you're on the material plane and you banish a devil and you can keep him gone for a minute, he's just gone. It is the literally banishment is the bane of many DMs, BBEGs, when they're like, oh, yeah, I've totally got this handled. And the party sends away the big bad, deals with all the minions, and then just line it up.
Yeah. As a DM, this is like, this is like the most freaking, and there are a couple of spells like this, but this is one of the most freaking frustrating spells out there as a DM when it goes.
This is what legendary resistance was made for.
That's exactly it. Let's force them to waste their banishment spell. They've got, on this. So how have you brought flavor to banishment?
We're old school dads. We remember the television of our parents.
Yeah.
A black door appears behind the target, floating slightly above the ground. It slams open and wind begins to spiral behind them as music is heard. You hear the voice. You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You are moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone. Nice. The name of the spell is Twilight Zone. They are sucked as they're sucked in through the doorway. They go grayscale and the door disappears. If they make the saves after being banished, the door reappears and they're spit from it before it slams shut behind them and disappears again. Oh my God. Just straight up. They get sent to visit Rod Serling.
That's great. That's just so good. I kind of like that. I like this. I like the auditory.
Yeah.
That's good. Mine is equally ridiculous. and very fey. I was thinking about sort of the Unseelie court when I thought of this one, the dark fey. The idea in the description is not going to be dark, but it was inspired by Dark Fae. This is called Gingerbread House Arrest. And up out of the ground sprouts four panels of gingerbread, quickly collapsing up over the top, building a gingerbread house over the villain, and then sinking into the ground immediately.
Nice.
Sending them off to deal with the wicked witch who lives in the gingerbread house.
That's hilarious.
You get the right through.
I think, like, it's, you just think about like the way the spell is described, you know, it just says you send them to another plane, right? Yeah. It doesn't say
how do they get there.
You know, I think in most cases, you know, it's just literally, I mean, it could just as easily be, you could describe it as, oh, it's a Star Trek transporter effect.
Yeah.
It could be from the foot.
That's
feet
a great
up.
Point, Andy. Yeah. It could just be auditory. It could just be sound, right?
Yeah. Like, it could like literally be like, or it could be like, you know, a gingerbread house or a great big hand comes from the earth and just pulls them down into the ground.
My daughter recommended the idea of like if it was a dwarf with earth type powers, it would be like a crater would open up underneath them and they would just fall into the crater, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Or chasm in our world.
Or chasm. Yeah, but like you could also see it like, you know, let's say you had like a storm sorcerer, or you're some sort of conjuration wizard. Yeah. It could just be, you know, a portal. It could be any number of things. You can make it really creepy where it's like, you know, they look down at their hand and like their hands disappeared, then their legs disappeared, and like there's a hole in their chest and they're slowly being like eaten up as they're banished.
Yeah.
You know,
that's great. And the great thing about it is that it doesn't always even have to be the same. You're not stuck with this stuff. This is a game where you're limited only by your ability to imagine something. So you can, if you get bored of your description, you learned a new flavor for your spell and you've changed it up.
Yeah.
And it does something a little different.
And I do. Yeah. And I know we have talked about it, you know, reflavoring a spell is like super, I don't even know that you need to ask your DM for permission.
If you're not changing it mechanically,
it's not, it's really, you're just describing how it goes into effect.
You never have,
you know, when you get into like, you know, but it is like from there, you get this nice like sidestep into, I forget which one of the wizards exist that can, they have like a feat where they, or a spell ability where they can change, like, oh, if I had a fire, if I cast a fireball instead of a fireball, now it's a ice ball, right? They can change the nature of the damage.
Yeah, it's the scholarly one.
Yeah.
Change the damage types.
And I think those,
I don't remember what that's called, but.
Yeah, I think those sorts of things are, that's when you start getting into, oh, I want to craft my own spell. I want to do those sorts of things. And I think when you get to that place, beyond just like changing damage type, where you really are like looking to actually create a spell, like that becomes like a really fun place to have like a, I think, yeah, a pretty interesting dialogue with your DM.
Right.
Or if you're a DM, you know, just sitting down there and writing up a bunch of spells to, that is also like a just an absolute gift that you can give to spellcasters is, yeah, give them custom spells. Yeah. You know, makes like, oh, hey, guess what? You found a spell book. You found a scroll that has this cool new spell in it that nobody's ever heard of.
My players don't know this, but my wizard, who's that wizard that you just talked about, is going, yeah, to discover a whole bunch of dream-based spells.
Oh, interesting.
Because
oh,
they're traveling, they're traveling, piggybacking on other. So I let, we're 2 years into this campaign almost.
Yeah,
and so I'm doing basically a 2 or 3 shot where they get to play as other characters, mm-hmm, but all of their existing characters are, these new characters are all in a dream.
Right.
And all of the existing characters are basically piggybacking backpacks on top of the characters that are dreaming. So as part of this, doing this and accomplishing this, the character, the original character is going to achieve a bunch of dream spells.
Nice.
Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. It's just such an easy way to add great.
It just makes this fun.
And you don't have to look, you don't have to go out and create a bunch of stuff either. Like we talked in our holiday episode, the gift guide, all these dream spells exist in the Kobold Press new spell books. So I just pulled them out. And I'm like, well, how do I introduce them? Well, I'm going to give them as, they're going to find a dream spell book, and that's, yeah, what's going to be in it. So ways to make your characters interesting, ways to make your characters fun, way to bring simple role-playing to the game. Again, you don't have to rename the spells. It can just be sounds. We encourage you to do it because there's just a lot of power in it.
And I think that's, I think the simple role-playing, I think this is a great way to think more deeply about your character.
Mm-hmm.
And to think, and you know, I mean, honestly, in the same way that, you know, I think if you're playing a martial character, think about what their attacks look like,
mm-hmm,
and what they might be, you know, so like when, how is it that they move? How is it that they swing their sword? How, yeah, is it they do those things? Because that is the same thing as reflavoring your spells. Because it's very easy to say, I attack with my longsword or I cast Thorn Whip, and that's the end of it, versus saying, okay, I've drawn my longsword, I'm going to slide forward, you know, into a deep lunge while I flick his blade up and then take a swing at his midsection. That is just the same as I reach into my little bag and I whip out my yarn and shriek.
Yeah.
I cast yarn whip.
That's a great point, Andy. And I think that the other sort of add on to that, the yes and to that, is all these things just require description. They don't even, you don't have to do a funny voice.
No.
You don't have to do an accent. You're just describing what happens. And that describing what happens is equally valid role play to the people that are acting. And it's 100%. Fully accepted in this hobby. And it's actually the history of the hobby,
yeah,
way more than these voice actor approaches. You know, I know we do that a little bit in our games, but we love doing that. There's no requirement. You can just as easily do the voice and say, my character does this thing, and it works.
I'll be honest, like 90% of the gameplay that I do when I'm a player is more about me describing. Thorn reaches back, you know, holds up his shield, and, yeah, you know, swings his longsword.
Even in role play, I guess is what I'm saying.
Exactly. It is also role play. I think, I want to give people permission to open up their imagination,
yes,
to beyond the part of what makes the part of what makes this hobby so powerful is the ability to make those memories.
Yeah.
And the one of the ways to make them and to be more engaged as a player and to be more engaged as a DM is to be more active in how you describe and how you think about the action that's happening, right? It just becomes more real,
yeah,
the more you
And you might make your friends laugh. You might make your
friends laugh. And you might make your friends laugh. Yeah. You know, it's like when you tell them, like, oh, yes, a giant, a 40-foot portal has opened up and just a massive blob of molasses has fallen from the sky.
Or 2 million chunky monkeys.
Or 2 million chunky monkeys have come fountaining out of a little bag that you've thrown to the ground. And all of a sudden, they're grabbing everybody within a 40-foot
cube. Maybe it's a little barrel that you throw and the barrel explodes.
I think the barrel, exactly. Whatever it is, I think that's...
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, well, despite the rough start to the beginning of the episode and the new year, we managed to recover, I think. You want to talk a little bit about the socials and then... Or you can dad joke. It's either one, man.
Well, like, let's do the socials after that awkward pause as I like my brain's trying to do too many things at once. So you can find all of our socials at linktr.ee/thedadvantage. But we are active on Threads. We are active on Instagram. Please follow us there. We're posting dad jokes pretty regularly. It's a lot of fun, and we're also pretty active on Facebook. I think we're also on TikTok, but I don't know that Michael's in charge of that one. And I think he's done a little less in the way of...
Post. I've been doing reels on Instagram. I have the energy for reels. I feel like on TikTok, I have to show my face and I'm just not like, I haven't quite figured out how to do that. I know how to do it.
Michael, you are truly a beautiful man.
I know.
You shouldn't feel bad about that at all.
It's not that. It's just more like, I feel like I have to, like, there just has to be a style and I haven't figured out the style for our TikTok yet. But
you did super zoomed in close up, just one eye.
I did like five of them actually over the holiday, and they all sucked. And so I'm like, okay, I've got to rethink this. But over the holidays, actually, Andy, two things we should announce in terms of announcements. One, Dodeca Donuts has a Kickstarter coming up. Follow Dodeca Donuts on their socials. That's Andy, really.
That's me. It's at Dodeca Donuts. Just like how it sounds,
right?
Maybe,
figure it out. But like the Kickstarter coming up for the new year with a bunch of new donuts, and it's going to be awesome. Bigger sizes so it can hold all your custom size. That's fantastic. And then I want to announce we had an amazing thing happen sort of at the end of the year. We were in the top 50 on Apple Podcast Games for almost a whole week, peaking at number 29. Thank you very
much. Amazing. Thank you. Seriously, everyone who's subscribed and followed, it's this whole thing. I think we saw the stats from BuzzFeed. We had 10 or 15 different countries people listening in. I mean, it's really,
it's wonderful stuff.
Yeah, it's really cool. We're really happy that everybody's.
Yeah, we're usually in the top 100, but to get up into the top 30, top 40, and then to even get into the top 30, that was a new one for us. So we're just fun. It's a nice little rewarding. It keeps us going.
Yep.
So thank you, everybody. We really appreciate your listening.
Cool. Yeah. So I think with that, I don't know if this is D&D related so much, but Michael, where do dads like us store our dad jokes?
In a Google spreadsheet?
in Google Sheets? No.
Oh.
We store it in a database. We've all heard that one.
Oh my god. Database. Oh, I love it.
Database.
That's good.
Be our EDM band.
Database. Oh my god. Well, everybody, happy new year. Thanks again for all the support. Go rate us on your favorite podcast listening service. That's the best way to help us get new listeners. And we have more fun stuff coming up in the new year.
Yeah, we have big plans for 2024. I mean, certainly I have big plans for the donut stuff, but I think for Dadvantage as well, I think we really are trying to get focused on it. Yeah. I'll be in a total, just to keep going, I'm also going to be at a number of cons in the coming months. So I'll be at PAX East and a few other places as Dodeca Donuts. But if you're a fan of the Dadvantage, please come on by. I would love to talk to you and hear what you have to say.
Yeah. Please. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Talk to you guys soon.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. Bye. Okay.